You're listening to Halford and Brough.
Now it's Forsling to Ekblad, the line, long drive, rebound, they score, and it's Barkov picking up the rebound, and the Panthers take a 2-0 lead.
Look, Patrick's big thing when I got signed here, he's a big next man up mentality.
The boxing out that goes there, it's like prison rules in the playoffs, but it's not prison rules for the goalie.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01. Oh, my voice is just dead.
Oh, boy. Have you tried your voice today?
I have. I've talked a few times. 6:01.
Wow.
On a Tuesday, you are listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough for the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. I will try and go around the round table here. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
A-Dog, good morning to you.
How you doing?
Laddie, good morning to you.
Hello, hello. This is round one, Michael.
Intern Zach, good morning to you as well.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Halford and Brough in the morning. As mentioned, brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. We are also brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle. You get paid. Visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver.
Ricola.
I thought I was okay.
Halford smoking darts before the show.
During the show.
We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for?
Kintec, that's what you're waiting for. Okay, I feel like I'm back to a certain degree. Okay, okay. We have a big show today. It is Elimination Tuesday in the National Hockey League. We'll start with the games tonight. So this is the last four-game set that we're going to get in these Stanley Cup playoffs. Did you enjoy it when there were four games on the docket? Good, because this is the last one. Leafs and Bruins. Bruins have a chance to eliminate the Leafs. Hurricanes, Islanders. Canes have a chance to eliminate the Isles. Avs and Jets. The Avs have a chance to dump the Jets. And, of course, in the nightcap, in the most important game of them all, your Vancouver Canucks up 3-1 in their series against the Nashville Predators. They have a chance to dump the Preds tonight, 7 o'clock. From Rogers Arena. As for what's happening on the show today, guest list begins at 6:30. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN is going to join us. At 7 o'clock, Sam McKee is going to join us from Toronto, co-host of Leafs Talk on Sportsnet Plus. 8 o'clock, Brandon Batchelor. He's on the call tonight. 7 o'clock, Rogers Arena. Pre-game, post-game, actual game, all right here on Sportsnet 650.
When was the last game the Canucks played at home in Rogers Arena with a chance to eliminate a team?
Must have been 2011. Must have been Game 7 of 2011. Do you know the answer?
Yeah, it must have been, right?
Must have been. I don't think that they had the Flames ever up against it.
No, right? They didn't have the Kings or the Sharks either.
Nope. 2011. Yeah. Wow, it's been a long time.
You know what? I hope tonight goes better.
Yeah, I really hope tonight turns out okay.
Yeah. Better for the hockey team, better for the fans, and better for all the police cars.
Had to go there, hey?
Oh, we had to go there. So we got a big show ahead. We have a lot to get into. Working in reverse on the guest list. 8 o'clock, it's Bachelor. 7 o'clock, Sam McKee. 6:30, Greg Wyshynski. That's what's happening on the program today. Laddie, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No. What happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it? You missed that?
What happened is brought to you by the BC Construction Safety Alliance, making safety simpler by giving construction companies the best in tools, resources, and safety training. Visit them online at bccsa.ca. The big news from yesterday, not a lot of news. Canucks took the day off, did not practice. Rick Tocchet met with the media. As for who starts in Game 5 in net, whether it's Artur Shelovs or Casey DeSmith, Rick Tocchet told the media, I don't know who I'm going with yet. It's an hour-to-hour thing with regards to who will be going in net tonight for the potential elimination game of the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, nor did he suggest or hint at making any changes to the lineup after the Canucks escaped Nashville with a 3-1 series lead, and they really did escape Nashville with a 3-1 series lead. There was a bit of a funny moment when he started talking about the forward lines, and he was like, well, you know, I'm not going to break up the Miller line because they've been so good.
Very good.
I don't want to break up the Lindholm line, and you know he praised the Lindholm line.
Can't break them up
with Garland and Joshua, and then he praised the Bluger line, which left him with Petey's line, and he was like, they're going to come. They're going to come. I fully expect it.
Like, the PD line. Yeah. They'll probably figure it out.
Yeah. On Pettersson, he said, the one thing PD needs to focus on tonight, move your feet. Move your feet, and everything starts from there. If you're not moving your feet, you're hopeless. So don't think about anything else except keeping your feet moving, which is good advice for any hockey player, I suppose. Just keep your feet moving, and that's how you open up passing lanes and shooting lanes, and it's oftentimes how you win, races to the puck, that sort of thing. You got to move your feet. You can't just be reaching for the puck or standing still, because if you stand still, pretty useless.
But maybe Petey is standing still so much because he's hurting, because he's got bangs and bruises, Jason. Bangs. And bruises. So yesterday, Rick Dollywall, who we have on the show every Friday, hosted the Donnie and Dolly show on Czech TV.
He's bumped up. He's got bangs and bruises.
It was close. God bless him.
Bangs?
He tried.
Wow. He's he's in a dark place.
Emo Petey is fully embracing it now.
How do you like my hair?
It looks great. Rick Dollywall had a report of sorts. I'll just let the audio speak for itself. It's a little long. Greg said, how long is it? A minute and 59 seconds.
I got
seconds.
Down to 90 seconds.
Look at you go. 90 seconds of an interrupted Donnie and Dolly. This is the latest on Elias Pettersson and his health going into game 5 of the Canucks' first round series against the Nashville Predators.
I will say this. He is not 100%. I don't care what
I totally agree. He can't be.
I don't think he's 100%, and in fact, I've been told he's not 100%. It's not a major injury, but he's got banged, he's banged up like...
Did he hurt his elbow on a desk? But
oh, just stop. He's, like, a lot of these guys are banged up.
Look, if that happened to me, I'd be playing better.
I was going to say he's got bangs and bruises like everybody else, and that's the boss. Huh? Bumps and bruises. Did I say bangs? Anyways, it's been a rough morning for me. Listen, he's got bumps and bruises like everybody else. I really feel
well, but there must be something more
okay.
to it than that.
Do you notice that Tockett never rips?
This is bad here.
I know.
It just kind of falls out of nowhere.
Do you notice Tockett never rips Pettersson postgame? Do you know why that is, Don? Because he probably knows what's going on behind the scenes if he's not 100%. I don't think he's 100%.
Well, when I look at him not shooting, although Hockey Night last night.
He's had the wrist injuries. Over the last few years.
And the injuries as well. You are having a tough morning.
I'm having a tough.
But Hockey in Canada ran the footage of him working on his one-timers.
Yes.
Yesterday, from the day before. Mm-hmm. And, to me, if I had to guess, it would be his problem wrist.
Yes.
But then why would he be working on one-timers?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, why did he play at the end of the regular season?
That's the one I don't understand.
Out.
They sat Besser, didn't take him to Winnipeg. They could have sat Pettersson if he's banged up.
Up. I'm sorry.
It is something's up.
He's
I don't
way
think
better
he's 100%.
Than this.
And he's not driving play, and he's not a difference maker, but there's got to be a reason why.
Now, so wrist, which wrist is injured?
Far be it from us to make fun of someone mispronouncing something, but Ingies is an all-timer.
Is it the left wrist Ingie or the right?
I've been there before where you're just trying to get the word out and it's not coming out right. At the same time, Ingies is really funny. And we're going to be using that probably until the end of the playoffs.
The wrist Ingies.
Yeah, that doesn't add up, though, that this is all just a physical injury. I will die on the hill that this is mostly mental with Elias Pettersson, because if he's got the wrist injury, he can still keep his feet moving, right?
You got to shake off the injuries sometimes. You got to play injury.
Yeah. So, look, we can talk about Quinn Hughes later in the show, because I do want to get to some of the other NHL news. But I think one of the most important things for the Canucks tonight, and really for the rest of the playoffs, because I'm sure even if the Canucks advance past the Nashville Predators, the book will be out on the Vancouver Canucks, is that you got to send the house basically at Quinn Hughes. Quinn has... still managed. He might be a little bit injured too, and he still managed to make a difference. Made that terrific play on the tying goal on Sunday against the Preds. But he can't be 100% either with all the physical punishment that he's been taking. So, you know, one of the things I want to discuss today is what are some of the things that the Canucks can do to keep Quinn Hughes a little more healthy and keep the hits on him and the sandwich plays down on mm-hmm. him, because, you know, the Canucks need to keep Quinn Hughes on the ice and healthy. We're also going to have a discussion on who we expect to come out stronger tonight. Will it be the Nashville Predators who are playing desperate hockey, or will it be the Vancouver Canucks with an opportunity to kind of, it's weird to say this, make up for last game, although uh-huh. they won the game, make up for the game and show some killer instinct and put the Preds away on home ice. But let's get to some of the other NHL news last night mm-hmm. because there is one more team that's been eliminated.
Yeah, happy trails to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are out of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the second consecutive year. A 6-1 defeat. Yes, 6-1 to the Florida Panthers last night at Amaranth Bank Arena. What a name. On Monday night, it was actually a pretty tight game, and the Tampa Bay Lightning actually had two goals chalked off due to goalie interference replays. Alexander Barkov scored twice. Carter Verhaeghe, who's had an unbelievable playoff, scored twice as well. Panthers move on. They finally get over that hump of getting rid of their in-state rivals in the playoffs. So they move on. They'll take on the winner of Boston and Toronto. Though I think, though, unfortunately, as much as I respect what Florida did, and I think they're a very good team, the more interesting story here for me is what comes of this Tampa Bay Lightning team next. Obviously, the questions first and foremost in the aftermath were about the future of Steve Stamkos. Steve Stamkos is a pending unrestricted free agent. He wanted to get a contract done at the beginning of the year. Julian Brisebois, the general manager, shot it down and said, we're going to wait until the end of the year. Stamkos voiced his frustration, then kind of went about his business. I would argue that he was probably the best Tampa Bay Lightning player in this five-game loss. Here's what the head coach, John Cooper, had to say in the aftermath following his team's elimination at the hands of the Florida Panthers.
I don't know if there'll be much conversation. I hope not, anyway. You know, he belongs here. We know it. He knows it. But again, this is 2 seconds after a game, but he and I have grown up together, and he's a heck of a player, but he's also, I suppose in control of his own destiny, but I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, he feels like a bolt for life, but only he and Julian can answer that one.
There was a very weird vibe afterwards because Stamkos actually stood on the ice for about a minute and had one of those like take it all in sort of moments, just watching everything. I know they weren't at home, but you know, he was just standing.
Didn't Bergeron do that once and come back for a year?
But Bergeron also did it and then left. He did it twice.
Right. Yeah.
The second time he's like, this is
But the first one you stay, the second one you go.
Right. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here collectively with this team. You could call it a dynasty when you win back-to-back Stanley Cups. You're at least in that conversation. But this is now two consecutive first-round exits. They just continue to kind of run it back with fewer and fewer guys from the year prior.
Plus, one of those cups was a fake cup, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, please don't call it that. I mean, it was a bubble cup. Don't call it a fake. Okay, fine, fake cup. That's all right. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here, because Cooper's comments, yeah, they were in the heat of losing. And he also went on an extended rant about goalie interference, which was 4 minutes long, and I'm not going to play the whole thing. But, I think the big story here is what's going to become of this team, because Stamkos is the face of the franchise. And if he decides to try and go somewhere else, I wonder what other exits could happen as well.
You know, I've heard the argument. I've even forwarded the argument that maybe the Lightning want to spend that cap money on a defenseman or something along those lines. But if they lose Steven Stamkos, they lose just so much goal scoring.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the goals they scored, they didn't score many goals in this series against Florida. So Stamkos had 5 goals. Brandon Hagel had 3. Braden Point had 2. Nick Paul had 2. And then Tyler Motte and Victor Hedman were the only other guys that scored. Mm-hmm. Like, Cirelli didn't have any goals.
Well, he did. They just kept getting called back.
Right, but he ultimately didn't have any goals. Anthony Duclair, who's probably going to be on his way out, didn't have any goals for them in five games. So I understand the whole premise of you don't want to give a 34-year-old guy like a huge contract. If he comes to you and he's like, I want a five-year contract. I don't care how old I'm going to be when I expire because I want the money. I want a big cap hit because I'm still playing like one of the top players in the NHL. I can understand the hesitation to do that because you're almost guaranteeing that that contract is going to go badly at the end. But if the idea is for the Tampa Bay Lightning to keep trying to be a contender, then they have to bring back Steven Stamkos. Now, Julian Breezeball and the Tampa Bay Lightning might look at things differently than, say, a team like Pittsburgh has, where they've kept the guys together and they've kept Malkin and they've kept Letang and, you know, obviously they've kept Crosby, and it hasn't worked out very well for the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you're looking at the Penguins and going, I wonder if they regret giving Letang and Malkin those contracts, plus bringing on the contract of another old guy in Erik Karlsson. You know, they didn't even make the playoffs this season, and then it becomes really hard to improve and really hard to, move bad money off the books if you have to.
Changing of the guard in the NHL, right? You look at this and there's...
He might want to mix it up too, you know? Like, he might just say, like, I'm going to hand the team over to Braden Point and
Anthony Cirelli.
And Anthony Cirelli and Kucherov is still there and still a terrific player, and he might want to address something else. You never know.
I mean, when's the last time that there has been no Crosby, Stamkos, or Ovechkin beyond the first round of the playoffs? It's been an awfully long time, but that's what we've got right now because the Lightning are out, the Caps are already out. Not going to lie, this first round hasn't been super competitive in terms of, you know, the games in a series. The only one that has, the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights, their series is now tied at 2-2 after the Dallas Stars went into T-Mobile again last night and this time won 4-2. So the road team has won every game in this series. This has been the tightest and most competitive of all the series. It was the Stars' second straight win on the road to even the best of seven. It's now a best of three. That one's been real interesting. I don't know how much you guys have paid attention to it, but I've been very impressed with Dallas the last two games. I thought that they might have flatlined after losing the opening two at home, but they've come back very well in a tough place to win as well in Vegas. So good on them. That series now tied at 2-2, best of three.
Did you mention the stat that I saw going around? Since starting 6-0, home teams in the NHL playoffs have gone 9-18.
Remember that brief flirtation at the beginning where it was like, no one can lose at home. It's the best. It's the best place to be. Well, Dallas kind of flipped that on its head, you know, in a major way, and then they did it in Vegas
as
well.
It is a little bit natural that it would happen that way because you've got, you had the sweep of the Washington Capitals. Yep. So, you know, naturally the home teams are going to have more of an advantage in the first few games because the higher seeds are playing at home. So the higher seeds, in theory, should be able to go into, the Canucks went into Nashville and won two, right? So in theory, that happens. But I think it is pretty remarkable how the home teams have struggled lately.
So there was a coach dismissal yesterday out of Seattle. Fairly big news. Dave Hakstol out after a couple years on the job. Kraken failed to qualify for the playoffs this year, finishing sixth. Boo, in the Pacific Division. And that was a year after they made it to the second round of the Western Conference playoffs. I was a little surprised by this one, more so when we got this audio from ESPN's Emily Kaplan talking about how there was a borderline player mutiny, a player revolt, had they have brought back Dave Hakstol. Here's what Emily Kaplan from ESPN had to say on the heels of Dave Hakstol being fired in Seattle.
Yeah, this one, somewhat shocking, somewhat not shocking. What I can tell you is that Ron Francis did not want to make this move. Dave Hakstol is now one of four coaches who lost their jobs this cycle who didn't even have their extension kick in yet. But I was told at the exit meetings with players, there was a handful of players and pretty significant players who made it clear to management, I don't want to play on this team in the future if Dave Hakstol is still the coach. And that forced them to make a change. Paul McFarland, an assistant, also didn't have his contract renewed. If they look internally, Dan Bosma, who's running their AHL team, you remember him from the Sabres and Pittsburgh Penguins, has a very legitimate shot. He's done a great job with Coachella Valley. They're heading into the playoffs. They just had a bye after the first round. But a lot of scuttlebutt I hear around the league is, can Ron Francis pry Rod Brind'Amour away from Carolina? That's a situation we wouldn't see come to fruition until the Canes are.
So Ron Francis released a statement in the aftermath, and it was interesting because he pointed to a couple things very specifically. One was that the team was wildly inconsistent this year and a few too many losing streaks, quote, and losing streaks of significant numbers. And if you looked at the Seattle Kraken's year, it was peaks and valleys all the way. They'd go on crazy 7, 8, 9 game unbeaten streaks, and then they'd lose 4, 5, 6 in a row. And it just got to be too much for Ron Francis. So no shortage of guys that could line up for that job. I think Craig Berube is a name that's out there. Although you seem to think that
I think he's going to Ottawa. I think he makes sense for Ottawa, like a lot of sense.
But that is the 10th coaching change now that we've seen this season in the NHL. So 1/3 of the coaches were fired. And I didn't realize this until talking with a buddy last night. Rick Tocchet is now the second longest tenured coach in the Pacific Division.
That's crazy. So the vacancies are in San Jose, Seattle. Buffalo, of course, filled theirs with Lindy Ruff. The LA Kings have an interim in Jim Hiller. The Devils, have the Devils done anything? They've still got Travis Green as the interim.
Yep.
And St. Louis has Drew Bannister as the interim. And, you know, the elephant in the room is there might be another vacancy as soon as, I don't know, tomorrow? If the Leafs are dumped tonight by the Boston Bruins and Sheldon Keefe is fired.
Yeah, that's the big – I mean, there's a lot of talking points coming out of Toronto right now. But of all the games non-Canucks related right now, that's the one that people are going to have their eyes on. Because if Toronto bows out tonight, I mean, you've got to think that the changes will start behind the bench with the head coach. And then it's like, well, what else are we going to do?
I do want to go talk about this Seattle story. Did you ever take Dave Hakstol as a guy that would cause a mutiny?
No.
Is that just because of the way he looks, though? Because he looks like a nice man. He looks like a very nice man.
I think I classified Dave Hakstol as maybe the least polarizing individual in the NHL. He's like, he's just there. He looks very handsome behind the bench. He's got well-coiffed hair.
Remember when he got hired and we were like, Dave Hakstol? Really? Yeah. Well, that's boring.
I've made the joke numerous times. He looks like Hugh Parkfield, who was Lisa's fiancé. They never tied the knot, unfortunately. But in the future episode of The Simpsons, that's the biggest thing that I ever...
Voiced by Hugh Grant, was it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Homer
burns the flag. He's got tears in his eyes.
I've never actually thought of Dave Hakstol beyond that. I remember talking to someone when the Kraken were doing well, and they gave a lot of credit to the assistant coaching staff, including Dave Lowry there, saying that, you know, they were the ones that were maybe doing a little bit more in terms of, you know, carrying the weight from the coaching front. It was a surprising hire when they made it. Hakstol obviously had great success last year, taking them all the way to the second round of the playoffs. But I did hear that some of the younger guys, including a guy like Jared McCann, who scored 40 goals a year ago and then was bounced all over the lineup this year, different line combinations, different roles, different deployment, that I think eventually the players just got tired and they felt like they really underachieved this year. As a result, Hakstol's out there looking for a new head coach in Seattle.
Do you think if the Jets go out to Colorado, there might be some conversation about Bones?
Yes, 100%. There's conversations right now about Bones. So for those that haven't been following this series, there's been a real divide between the coach and the players about what's gone wrong now that the Jets are trailing the Avalanche 3-1 in the series. Bonus says it's on the players because they're being undisciplined and they're not moving their feet and they're not winning puck battles. There are players, including veteran players, that are very outspoken about how the system and the style and the game plan and the strategy isn't working. They're not being able to shut down Colorado's speed, not being able to take them out before it gets to a point of attack. Like, how are these guys getting such a head of steam coming at us? Like, could we not deploy some people differently to slow them down? But the series has completely gotten away from them, and they've been bleeding goals consistently. So it does kind of go beyond, we need to work harder and be more disciplined, take less penalties. But there are major questions with Bonus right now.
If the Canucks were trailing this series, and like if they've played the exact same way, but they hadn't had that 12 seconds in game one, or they hadn't had the miracle comeback in game four, there'd be a lot of questions about Tocchet.
Yep.
Because he is still, you know, I listened to his media avail yesterday, and, you know, those are obviously two big ifs. Like, you know, if they were trailing, they're up 3-1. So I still think Rick Tocchet is a really good coach. I still think he's been, you know, incredible and deserves the Jack Adams this year. But, you know, he was asked about kind of like, are you thinking of making any changes? And he kind of just did go back to the whole, like, we got to win more battles.
Yeah.
you know, thing. And I'm saying that maybe sounds a little bit similar to Rick Bonus in that it's on the players.
The only difference there is that you don't have any Canucks. Well, obviously, no Canucks players are going to talk out being up 3-1. But the one that all the Winnipeg media is harping on right now is that there are veteran players on this team that are openly criticizing the way that they're playing.
Right. Okay.
That's a bad thing.
That's a major difference.
Right. And yeah, Shifley's one of them. With Tocchet, you got to remember that there will, however this playoff ends, whether it's this round or the next round for the Canucks, or they win the Stanley Cup. If they do win the Stanley Cup, narrative might be a little different, but he's going to have the baked-in excuse that he was down to his third-string goalie at one point.
True.
Guys are getting banged up. His star $11.6 million a year center was giving him nothing on offense. Like, there's going to be a lot of stuff baked into the recipe here with regards to excuses.
Tocchet will also have this was a good learning lesson for us in the playoffs. We needed to learn some lessons.
Sure.
That Jets team is a lot different. That Jets team has a lot of experience in the playoffs.
When you get dumped in the first round the year prior and your coach comes out spitting fire about how things need to change, and then the changes happen, then you go back to the playoffs and lose in kind of sad fashion again. I mean, that is going to get some negative attention on the coach, so we'll see what happens with Bonus.
It is going to be an awesome hockey-watching night tonight, and we'll talk about all the things going on in the NHL coming up next with one of our favorite guests, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
Sky Avenue Kitchen and Lounge is one of the presenting sponsors of all playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650. Discover Surrey's newest luxury dining experience. Experience the richness of a Canadian cuisine prepared by a Michelin-recommended chef. Reserve your table today at skyavenue.com.
We regret to announce the following layoffs, which I will read in alphabetical order.
Hackstar, David.
That is all.
It's Canuck Central with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah, your destination for everything Canucks. Exclusive interviews, inside info, and even the postgame show. Listen 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays and on demand through your favorite podcast app.
.633 on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour one of the program. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN is going to join us in just a moment here. The highlight of hour one. Hour one is brought to you by North Star Metal Recycling. Vancouver's premier metal recycler pays the highest prices on scrap metal. North Star Metal Recycling, they recycle, you get paid. Visit them at 1170 Powell Street in Vancouver. To the phone lines we go. Greg Wyshynski joins us now on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Morning, Greg. How are you?
You always say that I'm the highlight of hour one, which I think really does a disservice to your metal recycling ad read, but I'll take it as usual.
Greg, you are the highlight of any hour of any program that you are on.
I don't think that's true at all.
Are you excited for Elimination Tuesday here? Four games tonight. I believe this is our last four-game night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, too, by the way. All games of the elimination variety, including the Vancouver Canucks in there. What was it? Chokehold or Stranglehold? What one to bat?
It's a Stranglehold.
Stranglehold. 3-1 Stranglehold on the Nashville Predators.
It's a gentle tonight. Stranglehold, though.
A gentle Stranglehold tonight at Rogers Arena.
I'm excited that we actually have a 2-2 series after last night, to be honest with you. I don't know if you saw that stat.
Crazy,
that I shared last night, but yeah, the fact that we it would have been the first season in NHL history since we went seven games in playoff series that we wouldn't have had at least one 2-2 series if Dallas didn't win last night. The first round has been whelming, maybe not underwhelming, just whelming. You know what I mean? Like, it's not we're not getting a whole hell of a lot of game sevens, or we haven't had a whole hell of a lot of overtimes. There's been some teams that, shall we say, clearly maybe didn't belong in the playoffs that were playing in them. It's just like, there's still a long way to go for us to kind of turn this around and have a real banger of a first round. I think Dallas and Vegas have helped to that end. And I think of the teams tonight that are playing, the one that I'm looking at the most is the Islanders to potentially keep that series going a little bit. But again, when you have all these teams on the precipice, it's hard to really get excited about seeing anything but Dallas-Vegas kind of see its way to a Game 7. And in the Predators' case, like, this is going to go one of two ways. Like, they're either a young team whose spirit is crushed because they blew that game on home ice. And by the way, like, once that game is tied going to overtime, I mean, if you're betting on that game, you push all your chips in on Vancouver because you figure Nashville's cooked. Or they're going to just be too young and dumb to realize what a disaster it was in game four, and they come out in game five and play really well. So I don't quite know how it's going to roll, but I tend to believe it's probably the former, where the Canucks really landed a body blow that's going to stagger this team out of the playoffs.
Have there been any controversial hits, or there haven't been any suspensions, have there? Anything?
Nope.
Yeah,
it's been a very whelming.
In the first round?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there totally was, but they all involved Matt Rempe.
Right. Yeah.
I mean that's not fair. I mean they involved the Rangers. The biggest controversial hit was the hit that Panarin landed on Oshie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah,
where everybody was losing their minds about whether or not that was a headshot or whatever, and you know, on ESPN, you know, PK and Dave Jackson are breaking this thing down like it's the Zapruder film to figure out exactly where the contact was made. So that's the only one that comes to mind. But yeah, I mean, like, short of controversies, hell, the most fire spat by a head coach was Cooper last night, and that's on his way out the door of the playoffs. So I mean, we haven't even gotten really that. So it's been very whelming, as I said.
Do you think Stamkos will be back in Tampa Bay?
You know, Cooper kind of indicated that this might not be a long conversation in his comments last night, insofar as, like, we should get resolution on this pretty soon. And his hope was that they'll see their way through it. Again, you guys know that my plank in my platform is that these guys just stay where their stuff is, and all of Stamkos' stuff is in Tampa. But I do think that at the end of the day, like, you know, Julien Brisebois is going to be able to come back to his captain and say, here's what we want to accomplish in this offseason, and here's how much we are willing to pay you in order for us to have the flexibility under the salary cap to do these things. And Stamkos is either going to have to, you know, take that and stay there and try to make a go of it with his friends, or he's going to say that is lowballing a guy who just potted 40 goals for you in the regular season, and I'm out of here. So it's, I think it's going to come to a head, and it'll, I tend to believe he'll stay, but I don't think anybody knows for sure.
Hey, Wish, tell us what happened in Seattle with Dave Hakstol, because your colleague Emily Kaplan had a report that there was kind of a mutiny of sorts.
Well, I mean, mutiny is kind of...
No, it was a mutiny.
I mean, like,
yeah.
I mean, like these, why do you think coaches get fired? Coaches get fired for a lot of reasons, but in many cases, it's because of what the general manager hears in those postseason debriefings with his players. And oftentimes it's the GM hearing things that maybe he's not aware of until these guys can speak with candor after the season about what was right and what was wrong. Now, hearing what Emily reported last night about, you know, these guys, he had guys saying they wouldn't play for him anymore, is kind of a little step farther than what you usually hear in these meetings. But it's kind of commonplace to have a postseason evaluation of your coach that involves feedback from your players. And if the feedback is consistent and adamant that this isn't the right fit anymore, then usually it leads to a change.
We're speaking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. You just dropped the latest on the inside the tumultuous tenure of the Coyotes in Arizona and their stunning move. What was, without spoiling the piece, because I know you want people to go read it.
Why don't they pay their bills?
Yeah, I guess that's one of them. Was there an especially good delinquent bill story that you can share with us?
I mean, the fact that they were known to get a bill from a hotel and just cross out the total.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Can you?
I didn't know you could do that either.
But I'm going to now.
No, I encourage people to read it because it's just chock full of really, really interesting information. Not only about, you know, the wackiness of the Coyotes behind the scenes. One of the anecdotes that we uncovered in the story is that Shane Doan is in Toronto now, part of their front office, because the son of the owner in Arizona said that he was not qualified to be their president of hockey operations in Arizona. Well, that's one of the reasons. That was the reason why, one of the reasons Shane Doan left the organization was because the son of the guy who does the branding for the team and encourages them to sell streetwear said that Shane Doan was unqualified to be the president of hockey operations. But there's like a ton of stuff in the story. Emily and I worked really hard on it for the last couple of weeks, putting this thing together. And it's not just like salacious Coyotes nuggets. It's a real comprehensive behind the scenes, minute by minute look at how Ryan and Ashley Smith acquired this team and how the NHL was brokering the deal. I mean, there's stuff in there about how Alex Morello, the owner of the Coyotes, was still looking for another owner while the talks were going on with Utah. Like it's great. It's a really, really comprehensive piece, and I hope people take some time to read it.
What do you expect from the Leafs tonight against the Bruins?
Crying? I don't know. Like, I mean, they're not going to, I mean, they're apparently not going to have Matthews from everything I heard yesterday, which is a real bummer to not see this thing all the way through. And then it's fun, you know, listen, part of the sport of experiencing another Leafs collapse is checking in on my friends in the Toronto media. And it's amazing how it's basically like Mad Libs, like all the things they were saying about Willie Nylander being out of the lineup. It's now the same thing they're saying about Matthews. This is so mysterious. What's going on? How come we don't know anything? Blah, 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 blah. Like now it's Matthews that's getting this treatment because they got bored after finding out that Nylander had, you know, debilitating migraines. So now they're just going to apply the same BS to Matthews situation. You know, listen, I don't expect them to rally in this series. I think Boston has them in a very precarious position. They can't seem to beat Jeremy Swayman, which is kind of a problem. And then we'll see how it all breaks down. We had Down Goes Brown on the show, on the drop yesterday, my old Puck Soup, co-host. And he said something that I think is coming to be the point a lot of people are accepting about the Leafs, which is that they are a supremely talented team that is not built for playoff success. And by that, I mean, you probably need to move out Mitch Marner and accept the fact that he's going to be a 100-point player wherever he goes, and then bring in somebody who is more of the Marchand Pastrnak cut of playoff performer. Same thing with Morgan Rielly. Like they've been trying to squint and hope and pray that Morgan Rielly could be a number one defenseman on a championship team. He's not. He's a great defenseman, but at the end of the day, he's not Victor Hedman. He's Ryan McDonough. Mm. You know what I mean? So like they've got to go out and find their Victor Hedman. And so that's the path ahead. But the path ahead means
good luck.
You either have to suffer some pain, you know, and do it through the draft, or you need to aggressively reshape your core. And that's undoubtedly going to happen. And then the other intriguing part is like whether Brendan Shanahan pays for this with his job, with the disaster that this thing was, or if they just say, look, we can't beat Boston. I mean, maybe that's just the message. We can't beat Boston. And maybe one year we won't have to play Boston. And won't that be exciting?
I think it's interesting that there are, you know, stories right at the top of MLSE, because they have a new president in Keith Pelly, and he's probably looking at his teams right now, and you know the Leafs haven't delivered much in the playoffs lately. The Raptors are in a complete rebuild.
They had a good year,
and TFC already kind of went through some issues, and they brought in a new manager in John Herdman. So I just wonder if you know, sometimes when there's a new president that comes in and he wants to make his mark, I'm like you. I wonder if this is going to be Brendan Shanahan's final year with the team.
Well, that, and you know, like the whole Dubas thing last year, you know, and he's been there for a while, and you know, you have to demand better results than what you're getting from your team. But again, like, what should you expect? It's a team that is certainly built to be very good in the regular season, to have star performances throughout the lineup. But ultimately, I mean, you look at look at Florida last night, like Tkachuk, Barkov, Reinhardt, like these guys are just not on the Leafs. They've got great players, but at no point do you ever look at Mitch Marner and be like, that guy's got the Matt Tkachuk thing going on, or that guy's got the Brad Marchand thing going on, or even, you know, anybody from any of these teams. Just like it's just not there for them, and I feel bad that it all falls on Marner, but it probably should. Like, this guy is a periphery player in the playoffs, and at some point you have to make a change, and I think they should make a change with him. I mean, it's beyond time, and they'll probably lose the trade, and he'll probably blossom wherever he goes. It's the Jack Eichel Tyler Seguin theorem, right? Of like, you just can't make it happen in a certain place, but then you find your game somewhere else. But I mean, for the Leafs' sake, you just can't keep on doing this every year.
Have you been following Elias Pettersson's struggles, or is that just mostly a Vancouver story?
It's mostly, I mean, I think I would say nationally we're cognizant of it, but I don't think necessarily in a mode of panic about it, as I'm sure you guys are. And I think, you know, part of that is also like, we really take notice of somebody's struggles if a team is down 3-1 versus right. up 3-1. Yeah. And so I think the fact that they've been able to win these games without him really playing all that extraordinarily well, I think is probably why it hasn't become a bigger story.
What did you think of that comeback the other day?
What comeback the other day? You mean the against the Predators?
Yeah.
It was sick. I mean,
it was incredible,
awesome.
Wasn't it? Like, they were, as far as I was concerned, watching the whole game, I was like, they're done. They're heading back to Vancouver. This series is tied 2-2, and somehow yeah. they pull it out, and they needed, you know, a bunch of things to happen, including Colton Sissons missing a wide-open net.
Wide-open net that had the entire bench popping and happy and thinking they were going to be in a great spot, and then, like, it doesn't happen, and there's that great video of, like, one of the guys just standing there with his arms in the air, dumbfounded that the puck didn't go in the net. And that's kind of the emotion that had been carried him through the rest of the game. Again, the thing that made me the happiest and seeing that score was seeing who had 3 goals in the game. Because I maintain that the Canucks' success this season is based greatly on the health of players that usually aren't healthy. And unfortunately, you know, obviously Demko has been the guy that hasn't been healthy since like March. But for Brock Besser to have the season that he had and then to have the playoffs that he's having is really one of the more like heartwarming things. Like, this guy has been through it. And, mm-hmm. and so when I saw that he had a real hand in the rally and in the victory, like, I was like, that's dope. That's a guy that you can kind of get excited about going on this journey that looks like he'll at least get through the first round unless the Predators change the narrative pretty quickly.
We're speaking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Greg, yesterday when the Vezina nominees came out, I made a joke that a few years ago, Dirk Nowitzki won the NBA MVP, and then he had to accept the trophy like while they were in the midst of the biggest upset in the first round to the Golden State Warriors, a 1-8. If and when Connor Hellebuyck wins the Vezina, is it going to be a similar vibe where he's going to go up there and accept the trophy on the heels of a first round where he got absolutely picked apart by the Colorado Avalanche?
Well, I mean, let's stick to hockey. This is Kucherov winning the Hart the year the Lightning got swept by the Blue Jackets.
Right. Yeah, very good.
Like, that's what this is. And Kucherov in that series, if you remember, he got suspended for a game. He played really poorly. And then he goes and has to accept the MVP award. And that's what this is. I mean, Hellebuyck, from an analytics standpoint, is the worst goalie in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Now, the defense in front of him is porous and terrible and I think there's going to be a lot of postseason hand-wringing over what the hell happened to a team that, from the analytics, was one of the best defensive teams in the league for a lot of the season, and then looked like they had found a threat again, and then fell apart the minute they stepped on the ice against Colorado. But he's not helped, and he's been bad. And you know, it's funny, we were talking about Swayman before, and I know that we've also talked many times on this show about the U.S. Olympic team and their impending gold medal. The dynamics of that race are really changing in front of our eyes. Like, if you're the GM of the U.S. Olympic team, are you looking at Swayman and Ottinger more than you're looking at Hellebuyck right now? Because I'm sure, you know, during the regular season, we're like, it's going to be Hellebuyck in the crease for the Four Nations thing in the Olympics. But I think Swayman in particular and Ottinger as well have certainly made a stronger case than he has in these playoffs.
Are you just not saying Thatcher Demko's name because he's hurt?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the mix too, but I mean, you know, he ain't playing. Nope. But, you know, that's my point. It's like these two guys are playing and he's not, but he's in the mix too. Look, the bottom line is that we have so many damn goalies that are so incredibly good.
Can we have one, please?
Easy for
please
me
give
to
us
miss
one.
Them. Yeah, but your one should have been a Vezina finalist.
Oh, this is the Binnington part. Yeah, yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Actually, Laddie or Greg Ballack wants you to talk about Jordan Binnington and how he should have been a Vezina finalist.
There are publicly available analytics that tell you a certain story about Binnington. And then there are ones that I've seen from places that don't necessarily want you to share them that show you that based on goals above expected, goals save above expected, he is one of the best goalies in the league this year. There are some places that had him better than Demko and Hellebuyck in some of those categories. And so you know, Bob has the glamour stats and Bob has the wins. And, you know, I don't think that there are I think if you go by certain metrics, he wasn't even the best goalie in his team, Bob, with the way that Stolarz played behind them. But the bottom line for me is that both of those guys were playing behind what was statistically the best defensive team in the league this year. And Binnington certainly was not. And I am not, listen, I'm not a Jordan Binnington guy. You guys know this. Yeah. Like, I'm not waving the pennant for Jordan Binnington. We're wearing a varsity jacket with a big B on it, okay? But, like, the guy should have been a Vezina finalist this year. And I feel like the reason that he wasn't is because the Blues fell short of the playoffs, because he didn't have enough wins, and probably because the general managers that vote on this thing don't exactly have the most respect for Jordan Binnington.
So this is rampant speculation, but do you think someone could try and acquire Jordan Binnington this offseason from St. Louis? Because I'm not exactly sure where the Blues are as, you know, on their way to, are they getting further away from being a Stanley Cup contender, or do they want to get closer? I'm not sure where they are, but I remember when Binnington was struggling, there were a lot of people in St. Louis that wouldn't have mind shipping him out.
I think your overall point is the difficulty in having this conversation, which is, how does Doug Armstrong view this team? I don't think there was a lot of discussion in his postseason comments about a rebuild or tearing it down or whatever, which is usually when you trade your goalie. But I mean, look, it might not be the right off season anyway to trade him, because, you know, Calgary is probably moving Markstrom. You could see a scenario in which Nashville moves Soros because he's got 1 year left and they have Askarov coming up. There's going to be a few guys that are just as intriguing as Jordan Binnington that are going to be available and that, you know, have a bit of a friendlier contract situation insofar as them expiring. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I didn't get any indication from the Blues that they're looking to, like, rebuild and get rid of the guy that made them relevant this year.
Greg, thanks for this, bud. As always, really appreciate it. Enjoy tonight, all four games, and the rest of the week. We'll do this again next Tuesday.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. That's Greg Wyshynski from ESPN here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I'm glad that you brought up the idea of St. Louis moving him out, because I've been reading that any team looking to acquire goaltending this offseason, that would be one.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one would be Jacob Markstrom out of Calgary, which
right.
would be two pretty big additions for anybody, I would say.
I mean, Markey from the perspective of a team that's clearly making some changes and retooling or even rebuilding makes sense. I just don't know where the Blues are right now in terms of their in terms of, you know, are they willing to take a step back, or do they not want to do that? Because if they trade Jordan Binnington after the season he just had, that's taking a step back, right?
Laddie, Hofer's the guy moving forward. Like, they're very high on him as a prospect.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he's going to be a starter in the league.
Right.
Not, shouldn't be one already.
So they've got a contingency plan in place.
Yeah.
I really like his name, too. You're like, Hofer. He's pretty good.
Performance by
it's like it's like in Fargo when he walks in, he's like, what are you watching? Gophers.
But it's a Hofer.
He's in net.
Okay, hour one of the show is in the books. Hour two is coming up. To kick off hour two, we're going to Toronto. Sam McKee, co-host of Leafs Talk on Sportsnet Plus. Will this be the last game in charge of the Toronto Maple Leafs for Sheldon Keefe? Will this be Mitch Marner's last game as a Toronto Maple Leaf? Will the Leafs bow out with a whimper tonight as they take on the Boston Bruins down 3-1 in their series? We will ask Sam all of those questions coming up on the other side. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. And real quick, before we go to break, I need to tell you about Threadco Print Shop, one of the presenting sponsors of all playoff coverage here on Sportsnet 650. Kickstart your custom apparel project with Threadco Print Shop, Vancouver's go-to destination for custom t-shirts and hoodies. Visit them online at threadcoprint.com. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.